So this is our fourth week of Month of Prayer, and it happens to be Palm Sunday because we said we were going to have our Month of Prayer leading into the Holy Week and Easter. So you get the palm branches and prayer all in one service. This last week's been really awesome because we've had our boiler room running. If you didn't get a chance to get in there, don't worry, we'll do it again next year. That's a joke. It's okay. But there's just a couple of snapshots of what it looked like. It was really quite awesome. If you had a chance to get in there, you'll know how powerful it is to just spend an hour in prayer and be in a place where it's encouraged, expected, and guided and led. It was really, really awesome. I enjoyed my time in the boiler room. Next Sunday is Easter, and we're going to celebrate hugely on that day. And there's a couple of important things that happen in this week as we look towards Easter. But today, I don't want to focus on the Palm Sunday part of the service, but I want to still look at prayer because that's what we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. And I want to make this morning real practical, okay? I know that you can't have a formula for prayer. However, we did get the Lord's Prayer, which is a great outline, guideline. We said it just now, and that's one way to use the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is to just say it as it's written. But you can also look at it and say, well, what are the key elements? What does Jesus want us to pray about in this prayer? So I've combined something I've preached on before, and I'll most probably preach on it again. And it's the acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication, and the Lord's Prayer, because they're very closely linked. And so, very practical, we're going to look at how to pray this morning, and then right at the end, when I've finished preaching, then I'm going to ask somebody to come and pray how I've taught you to pray. So exciting, hey? Isn't that? Everybody's like, oh, pick me, Brian, pick me. Don't worry. That's the point. I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer meeting and then the leader announces who would like to close in prayer. And then it's difficult when you're leading because then nobody makes eye contact. It's like they're scared. But I'm going to teach you how to pray. Oh, you see, Peter Benson, he's already wanting to come pray. This man is too keen. Okay, so adoration. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Adoration, right where the Lord's Prayer starts. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed is your name. Holy is your name. The prayer starts by acknowledging who God is, the greatness of God. And that's a good place for us to start. We acknowledge who God is. It does a number of things, but first of all, it puts God in his right place in our hearts. We acknowledge he is God and we are not. And it's different. There's a whole lot of scriptures where you'll find ideas on how to give God adoration. Isaiah 6 verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Many Psalms, Psalm 68, 35, praise be to God. Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 99, exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Adoration is about those words. You are holy, God. You are mighty. You are great. Because this A stands for adoration, I sometimes start my prayer with that. I adore you, God. It's fine to say those things to God. But we tell him how much we appreciate him. We express our love for him. We praise him. We celebrate his majesty, his power. We speak about all the incredible attributes. If you just think about that for a moment, there's so many things we can give God adoration for. Try not to jump straight into the thank you prayer. So don't say, Almighty God, thank you. Because we sometimes do that without saying who we're praying to. Imagine if your child walked in and their first thing was maybe the supplication, which is the last thing I'll talk about, or the thanks. Thanks is good, but sometimes we just want them to acknowledge who we are. Less and less nowadays, kids acknowledge that we are their parents, and they might get into trouble for not looking out for that relationship. But we don't want to go straight into thanks. Start with adoration. God, you're great. Talk about his greatness, his power, his majesty, the things that you see around you that are great, the people in your lives that you love. There's not a shortage of things to praise God for. You can start by saying, I praise you, Almighty God. The psalmist in Psalm 66 verse 3 says, how awesome are your deeds? If you just think about that phrase for a moment, how awesome are God's deeds? You can pick out a whole lot of those and say, you're an awesome God because of the things that you've done, and list them. If you've ever been to the mountains or if you love the beach, you can list those things. It helps us, though, to just not focus on us. Thanks is often a focus on us. It is what God has done, but it focuses on us. Supplication definitely focuses on us or those around us. They're all important parts, but I want you to start in that place. Reinforces how great God is. It helps us to change our perspective of God. When you say those things, we read them, but when you say those things, God, you are mighty. God, you are great. God, you are powerful. They become internalized within us. So, adoration. Then we get to confession. And you'll know this part in the scripture. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Here we acknowledge that there's something wrong and we ask for forgiveness. So sometimes people will tell me that, you know, I asked God to forgive me when I became a Christian and it's all good now. His blood has covered me for eternity. But why did Jesus say in his prayer, forgive us our trespasses? Because we are not perfect. Because we need to go to the cross daily and say, Lord, I'm not where I'd like to be. I've fallen in this area. Please forgive me. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will give us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. What a promise. So we're honest with God here. We tell him where we've fallen short. We tell him about the sin in our lives. Be specific. He knows. He knows what's wrong in our lives, but he wants us to admit it, to bring it before him and say, you know this about me, Lord. Help me. Sorry, help me. So confess, admit, own up, accept. Proverbs 28 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And that's what we find as we come with repentant heart. We find mercy. Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Who doesn't want to be refreshed? There's a place where you say, Lord, I've done this. It's not great. I'm not in a right relationship with you. Please forgive me. And there's a lightness about that. God does forgive us. Asking and receiving forgiveness is a really good thing. In our world today, many people are not able to ask for forgiveness. Many people are not even able to acknowledge that there's wrong stuff in their lives. If we never ask for forgiveness, we will never receive forgiveness. Some people find it difficult to come before God in this place, but add it into your prayer. Maybe to use the words that were used on Palm Sunday as Christ came into Jerusalem. The people cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna is save us, or save us now, or save us, we pray. So as Christ was coming in, we think that's a hallelujah, Hosanna. It's the same kind of thing, but it's not. They were acknowledging as Christ was coming in that he was the Messiah, the promised Messiah that would set people sin free. And so they're saying, Lord, save us now. So in our prayer, we do the same thing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Adoration, confession, then thanksgiving. We know how to do this. We know how to give thanks in our prayers. We often start here, and I've said that already. But the psalmist says in Psalm 69, glorify him with thanksgiving. This is a good thing to do. And what can we thank him for? So many things. I often thank Christ for calling me, for choosing me, for being a part of my life. Those are precious, precious things that God has done for me. It's not the same as adoration, so don't get the two confused. We don't want to start with thanks. We start with adoration, but there's a place where we say, thank you. And then we come to this place in our prayer where the S, supplication. It's a bit of an older word, but supplication really just means supply. Supply. And this is where we come before God and we say, this is what I need. This is where I'm at. In the Lord's Prayer, the words we read are, give us this day our daily bread. Christ told us we can ask for stuff. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That deals with what's inside of us. I know the bread deals with what's inside of us as well, but my heart deals with our physical form, but our spiritual form as well. We speak about what we need. We speak about what other people need. I want to read this scripture, Ephesians 1, 15 to 19, because I think sometimes we miss this part of supplication when we pray. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul's talking about the fact that he's praying. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So this is not about the parking place, my next paycheck. It's about wisdom and revelation. So when we supply, we say, Lord, please supply. This is important as well. Wisdom, revelation. And why? He says, so that you may know him better. So as we pray for people, ask, give them wisdom. Give them revelation so they can know you, Almighty God. They can know you, Jesus Christ, more and more. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Again, this prayer is not about something that's going to fill me or something that's going to happen. It's more about a hope. It's something that's going to happen inside of me. Pray these things for yourselves. Pray for wisdom. Pray for revelation. Pray for hope. Pray for understanding. Pray for patience. Pray for these things, not just the things we see. You know what? When we're better with Christ in these places, those other things take care of themselves. As we draw closer to him, he draws closer to us. And some of those other things are just taken care of. He knows what we need. So concentrate on your heart as you go to this place of supplication. But then also know that people need God to work in a tangible way in their lives. It doesn't take long to see where our country's at, where jobs are at, housing, facilities, schools. There's many areas where we need God to work. And he does as we come to him and we say, Lord, supply the needs in our country, in these people's lives. So, start with adoration, then go to confession, then spend time in thanksgiving, and finally, supplication. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I'm going to give you a sample prayer real quickly. Okay, here it is. Are you ready? Lord, I adore you. I confess the sin in my life. Thank you for all that you do for me. Please look after me and my family with what we need. Amen. Too short? No. Could it be longer? Yes. But if we're going to come to God and say, I adore you, you're the best, you're the greatest, and say, I'm sorry about the stuff in my life. Thank you, Lord, for working in my life. Please continue. Amen. Those are the prayers. That's a great way to remember how to pray. Have all of these high spots in your prayer. Then you get everything in. Sometimes we start with the thanks. This is a real challenge. Or the supply. You know, like when your child in the shop, they don't acknowledge your greatness, they just want the sweets. If they acknowledge your greatness, they most probably will get the sweets. Am I right here? Yeah, I know. I've had little people in sweets. But we don't start there because then sometimes we don't ever get to the adoration part or the confession part. If we start with the thanks and the supply, we don't ever get to the other part. So start with the other part. If you want to experience God more, then pray. If you want to know him more, then pray. If you want to see him do more, then pray. If you want his word to be more alive in your life, pray. If you want him to heal more, pray. If you want to see more miracles, pray. If you want to experience grace more, pray. I keep saying this every year, pray more than you've prayed before. Don't go for the 3-hour prayer tomorrow morning because you think that's the right thing. But just increase your prayer time just a little bit. If it's once a week that you were praying, pray twice a week. If you were praying twice a week, pray four times a week. I see I jumped there, not three, I went to four. Stretching you a little bit. But then if you prayed for 5 minutes, then pray for 5 minutes in the morning and pray for 5 minutes in the evening, or pray for 6 minutes instead of five. But just stretch your prayer muscles a bit. And that's what we've been trying to do this whole month, trying to encourage you to pray. And I hope that you've seen in this month God do things as you have been praying. And if you have, feed them back to the office just so that we know what the month of prayer has meant for you.